The following is an initiation lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on June 16th, 2007, in Columbus, Ohio, USA.
So, we are gathered here today on the most auspicious occasion of Diksha, initiation ceremony. Srila Prabhupada has emphasized very much the importance of the initiation ceremony, Diksha. It is not just the ceremony, but the ceremony begins the formal relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple, and not only with the spiritual master, but the previous acharyas also. Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. In this way, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the way back to Brahmaji, and all the way back to Krishna originally. So the initiation ceremony connects the initiate not only with his initiating guru, but all the previous acharyas all the way back to Krishna through the parampara system. This parampara system is how we understand the science of Krishna consciousness. Evam parampara praptam rimam rajarshayo vidu. This science was understood through the chain of disciplic succession. The saintly kings understood it in that way. So, if we actually want to realize the science of Krishna, if we want to realize the science of the soul, then we must go through the parampara system. We cannot jump all of a sudden to Krishna. It is not possible. There are already enough monkeys in Vrindavan who go jumping. When you go to Loy Bazaar, you can see them jumping across this to steal from the merchants. We don't want to jump like them. We want to go through the authorized system. We go through our Diksha Guru, and then by His mercy we are connected with His Guru, and then His Guru, and His Guru, all the way back to Krishna Himself, who is Adi Guru. Krishna is the original spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Devotion as follows. He says, the connection with the spiritual master is called initiation. From the date of initiation by the spiritual master, the connection between Krishna and a person cultivating Krishna consciousness is established. Without initiation by a bona fide spiritual master, the actual connection with Krishna consciousness is never performed. So Prabhupada is making it very clear. If you want to be connected with Krishna, you have to be initiated. It's not an option, you see. And this point is confirmed in the Mundaka Upanishad. Tad viganatam sagurum eva bigatschat. You see. Samit panihi shrautiyam brahmanishtam. If you want to actually be connected with Krishna through that transcendental self-realization process, you must approach Guru. You must. If any of you studied Sanskrit grammar, there are different verbal endings, different forms of the verb. When it comes to the vidhi lin form of the verb, just the ending of the verb changes the meaning, like gati, like what is that? Yes. Gachanti, gachati, he goes, gachanti, they go, gachchat, must go. You see. That is called vidhi lin form of the Sanskrit. Vidhi lin means compulsory. So Mundaka Upanishad, it gives the vidhi lin form of the word for going to Guru. It says, vigatschet, must go to Guru. There is no option. And this point is confirmed by Prabhupada in this quote we just read. There's no way to be connected with Krishna except through the medium of taking diksha from the bona fide spiritual master. That is the difference between animal life and human life. Without second birth, which comes at the time of diksha, without becoming dvija, or twice born, simply to remain first born or once born, that is animal life. Without dvija, or second birth, one remains animal. So, you must become born again. Dvija, second birth, by taking initiation. So what are the benefits? What's in it for me? Everyone wants to know what's in it for me. Prabhupada answers that question in a lecture he gave on the Srimad Bhagavatam in Los Angeles, New Dwarka, on January 5th, 1974. He states, deathlessness begins from the day of initiation. Adau Gurashvrayam. To enter into spiritual life, the first step is to accept Guru. As soon as you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, your point of deathlessness begins immediately. Immediately. Prabhupada emphasizes twice, immediately. And if you continue the advice and instruction of the spiritual master or the Shastra, then you become deathlessness. You become deathless, no more death. So the process of becoming immortal does not have to wait until you die. As soon as one takes complete shelter of the bona fide spiritual master by initiation, at that very minute, they achieve their immortal spiritual identity. Of course, to actually fully understand and realize what is that identity, that takes time. But one possesses it from the moment of initiation if one seriously follows one's vows. Just like a mango, you may purchase it in a green, unripened state from the market. You have the mango. Now you have to be patient, take proper care, and that will become a duly ripened mango. So initiation means you have the mango now. You have your eternal identity. It's been revived. Now you have to patiently take care of that mango. You have to follow carefully the principles of sadhana bhakti. And then that fully ripened love of Godhead, that will come. Therefore, Prabhupada emphasizes that the initiates must not only follow the four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds, he emphasizes that they must also avoid the 10 offenses, nama parads, you see. Because you can chant for millions of lifetimes 16 rounds a day. But if you continue to commit offense, you'll be doing it lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. So one should not only chant the 16 rounds minimum, but one should also become very expert to chant without any offense. Therefore, initiation ceremonies, Srila Prabhupada wanted that these 10 offenses should be described. So, in obedience to our spiritual master, the offenses against the holy name, chanting of the holy name, are as follows. One, to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. We have to have all respect for devotees. Even if we disagree with them, even if we feel they have done something wrong, but actually their whole life is being given for spreading Krishna consciousness. So that we should see. We should see how they have sacrificed everything, their whole life, for pushing forward Krishna consciousness movement. And we should always remain respectful towards them. That's very, very important. If we become disrespectful of the devotees and treat them like ordinary materialistic rascal people, then our spiritual life will be doomed. Because Krishna wants to see how much we love his devotees. That's how he recognizes our devotion, by how much we love his devotees. Number two, to consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. We should never think that, well, you can chant Krishna, you can chant Om Namo Shivaya, it doesn't matter, just chant something and you get the same result. No. The name of Krishna is different from the names of the demigods. We have to always remember that. Because Krishna is the Supreme Lord, the demigods are not, they are subordinate. And really, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. This is the most important thing, because unless I am obeying my guru's orders, I'm not pleasing him. If I'm not pleasing him, then I'm not making any advancement. Therefore, I must always remember my Guru Maharaj. I must always remember the instructions he has given me. And at least three times a day, I should offer my respectful obeisances, morning, noon, and evening, the lotus feet of my spiritual master. If he's not personally present, then I should do it by meditation. Always three times a day, offer obeisances to my Guru. Number four, to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. The direct Vedas and corollary literatures written in pursuit of the Vedic wisdom, these literatures must always be respected because they are non-different from Krishna. To consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. Actually, it's described that one pure utterance of Hare Krishna can deliver one from more sin than one can commit in millions and millions of lifetimes. So we think, well, that's an exaggeration. It couldn't be that powerful. You see, that's an offense. You should never think the holy name is limited. The glories, the power of the holy name is absolutely unlimited. You must always remember this. Number six, to give some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. If we take some elementary Sanskrit course and now we think, well, now I am a very learned scholar and I can dissect the holy name from the standpoint of Sanskrit grammar, you see. Well, Krishna means black and black means ignorance, so Krishna means ignorance. That's an example. We should never try to and take Krishna's name simply from a grammatical viewpoint. Krishna is fully present in his name. He's not subject to the rules and regulations of Sanskrit grammar. He's fully manifest in the form of his holy name. Seven, to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name of the Lord. Well, this is very nice. I can chant Hare Krishna, and if I have some lusty desire, I'll go ahead and fill it tonight, and I'll chant some extra rounds in the morning. No. We must never think like that. Even though the name is so powerful, it can deliver us from all sin, we should not take advantage. Krishna can easily see the cheating mentality there, that we're not sincere. We're trying to use the name as a facility to give myself license for sense enjoyment. Such chanting will never be effective. Therefore, we should never try to commit sins on the strength of chanting. To consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruit of activities. That, well, you know, I need a new job, and so we'll have a kirtan program at my house to give Krishna's blessings for a new job. You see, that's offensive. You don't need to. Krishna knows you need a new job. You got laid off, you're looking for. You don't need to do any ritual. Just cultivate pure devotional service, and everything else will come. Even the Bible says that. You see, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all other things shall be added unto you. So are we lower than Christians? that we have to flatter God, I'm going to have a kirtan to get a new job. No. That's an offense. Simply chant for developing pure bhakti and then everything will come. Krishna will never let his devotees starve. If he's feeding the atheist, you think he will let the devotees starve? No way. The ninth offense. To instruct the faithless person about the glories of the holy name. Some may say, well, I didn't want to go on book distribution anyway, so now I have my excuse. No, it's not the meaning. This means you should only preach to people according to their level. The preacher has to be expert to preach to the person in such a way that he's attracted and he doesn't become blasphemous. Actually, in one sense, there's no such thing as a faithless person. Everyone's actually a pure devotee. They're just covered by varying degrees of faithlessness. That's really the proper understanding. Actually, everyone is a beloved child of Lord Krishna. They just forgot, that's all. So you simply have to approach everyone in such a way that they feel good about how you're explaining to them. You have to find some way to enliven that person and attract them, even if it's just giving them prasadam and being kind to them, if nothing else, if they're not ready to hear. But the idea is you tell people as much as they're ready for, but don't go beyond that point to where they commit blasphemy. Of course, when in doubt, it's better just to be enthusiastic to preach, and then you'll learn by experience. And Krishna always protects those who are sincerely trying to push forward this movement. Our movement is to approach every person and try to convince them to take the holy name or to take a book or to take some prasadam. But it must be done in a way that they don't become irritated and blasphemous and say some blasphemy against Krishna. That's what it means. It simply means one should become expert in preaching so that you can attract everyone to Krishna consciousness. The tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. That's pretty clear. Krishna consciousness chanting means to become purified, to become totally, to have one desire only, and that is to please Krishna. So if I'm holding on to other desires, that is offense. Why would I want to hold on to the other desires? Because I'm thinking I have to if I'm going to be happy. We have to understand that's foolishness. Really foolishness. We don't have to hold on to any other desires. We simply have to desire Krishna, Krishna bhakti. If we do that, then everything else will be included. And of course, to be inattentive. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalam astaram tatastato nayam yatad atmanyeva vishangniya. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So we have to be very attentive when we are chanting. There are different types of inattentive japa. One is called radar japa, where you're chanting, you know, and then, oh, look, someone just came, you know. You're looking here, looking there. What's happening here today in Columbus? Hare Krishna, Krishna. It's radar japa. And the other one is jabber japa. Hare Krishna Prabhu, how are you doing today? Krishna, Krishna, Hare, how's so-and-so? Ram, Ram, like that. That's why I advise, and actually Prabhupada has actually stated, I read one quote, and he said, chant, finish all your rounds before sunrise. That's the best thing. That means get up early, don't sleep. Brahma Mahurta. Once the day gets rolling, it's very easy to be distracted from your rounds. But if you chant in the early morning before sunrise, There's nothing to do except chant. There's no other business. And then, of course, there's Dive Bomber Japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. So sit straight or stand up. Do something, you know. Shake your sleep off. Be attentive when you're chanting. And chant with love. Like a child crying from the mother, Prabhupada said. We're calling out, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. We're asking Krishna to save us, actually. We're drowning in the ocean of birth and death. And we are calling out to Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We're asking Krishna to save us. SOS. You see? Sending our SOS message, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, save me. Here I am in the ocean. It's like somebody drowning in the ocean, you know. Some ship comes by and they call out as loud as they can, help, help. Because they may not notice there's a person out there hanging onto a log. He's been floating there for 5 days waiting for someone to save him. And a boat just happens to come by randomly, you know. And he's calling out so that somebody in the ship will hear me. So they can save me. Otherwise I'll die out here floating on this log in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, you see. So how intensely he'll call out when that ship comes by. Help, help. So we have to, in the same mood of calling out for Krishna to rescue us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. In this way. You see. The Krishna will notice us and rescue us from our condition here. So in this way, these 10 offenses, if we can strictly avoid these 10 offenses and become very steady, just like this morning I was asked about how does one become steady, you see. This is the key. If one can avoid these 10 offenses, one becomes very, very steady in Krishna consciousness. It's a simple thing. Be mindful of the 10 offenses and always avoid them. And when they come, just recognize them. Oh, this offense has infiltrated my heart now. Get out. It's like if some unwanted guest comes to the temple, some crazy person, we may have to escort them to the door. So these aparads, they're crazy people. Ten different types of crazy people come into our heart. We have to escort them to the door. And so, okay, out. Get out. So in this way, we will become very, very fixed in Krishna consciousness. And we will relish the sweetest nectar at every minute because we're trying to give Krishna happiness by our every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances. This is what it's all about, Prabhus and Madhijis. This is what it's all about. We have to try to please Krishna at every minute. That's Krishna consciousness. It's not a cult. It's not a tilak and dhoti sari cult. Although we wear those things because they help our Krishna consciousness. That is what it really means to be a member of the Krishna consciousness movement. To do everything, every thought, every word, and every deed for the pleasure of Krishna. You see, that is Krishna consciousness.